Ez a Térkép Info, az ELTE Térkép Tudományi és Geoinformatika Intézetének podcast műsora, melyben két hétről két hétre beszélgetések hallhatók térképészetről, geoinformatikáról, távérzékelésről, földtudományokról és egyéb kapcsolódó szakterületekről. Vendégeink területük elismert kutatói, tudósai, vagy éppen hallgatók, akik valamilyen kutatási projekt révén betekintést nyernek egy-egy szakterület mélységeibe. Én Pál Márton tanársegéd vagyok, és podcastes csapatunk nevében remélem, hogy érdekes és értékes tartalommal tudunk szolgálni.
Üdvözlöm a hallgatókat! Mai beszélgető társam Georg Gartner, a Nemzetközi Térképészeti Társulás elnöke, a Bécsi Műszaki Egyetem professzora, egyébként az ELTE díszdoktora is. Itt vagyunk Bulgáriában június 19-én a 9. Nemzetközi Térképészeti és Térinformatikai Konferencián, ahol neki tegnap volt egy előadása, és ezzel kapcsolatban fogom őt angol nyelven kérdezgetni. So yesterday you had a keynote speech on the default nature of cartography. I intentionally made notes during your speech, and no, I think it's a good skeleton of our discussion. I still remember when we worked together in ICA, you had a slogan that it's okay to be a cartographer. Though it looks and it period, it will be maps matter.
Yes.
Why have you decided to change? What is the difference?
There's not a difference. It's an ongoing evolution of my thinking. First of all, I think maps matter because really, if you think about it, everything happens somewhere. Whatever happens, it happens also somewhere. It happens in space and in time.
It was also mentioned in your keynote speech.
And I think this is the starting point. The starting point is that everything happens somewhere. And I'm always thinking, what if we would have no maps? Think about that. I would live 50,000 years ago and we are both members of a tribe. And you come back from a hunt and you want to tell me some information about there are some deer somewhere. You want to give me information about something which is spatial. How would you do that? And so I argue that maps are the most prominent and efficient way for humans to communicate about spatial information. It's actually really a game changer for human mankind that we can speak, that we have a language, as well as we have a graphical language, that we have maps. So I argue maps matter, and when we're thinking about our modern world and all the things which are ongoing currently, all the global crises, everything which is ongoing, the climate crisis, a war, but also something private. I want to go on a vacation. It happens somewhere. And if I want to know about it, how will I ever do that? If I want to plan it, how will I do that without maps? So in that sense, my argument is cartography and maps are really instrumental for our societies and our economies.
And what is your observation as a teacher, as a professor of cartography, about your recent students? Are their map use is different than 20 years ago?
Well, I'm having a very positive monitoring results of our students, because our students are now equipped with all new technology skills and competences, so they are not hindered by, they don't know how to use programming languages or computers or a technology like artificial intelligence or virtual reality. They all learn that, but they learn that as an instrument so that they can really build maps as they want to build. And to build a map on top of technology means that I'm not determined by the technology, I'm hindered by the technology, but I can use it freely to build what I want to build. And so we have the nice experience in Vienna that our students are, we always talk about what we call a triangle of competences, that they are technology savvy, they know about technology, they know about data, because we cannot produce maps without data, but they also are very equipped with design competence and to make a difference in communication means that I need to try to design what I'm doing. It's the same with human language. If I'm saying something nicely, it might make a difference. And if I'm depicting a map nicely, it might make a difference. So those things matter and play a role ultimately. And so in that sense, I think it's interesting to see that cartography as a discipline has really shifted also from its major focus on producing maps into understanding better what maps, how maps are used and what impact that might have as well.
I remember about 10-15 years ago, I don't want to name that guy, but it was a member of your staff that people, I didn't want to say he or she, educated as a cartographer. And when we had a discussion, I just asked that person, which kind of software have you used to make maps? And that guy said, I've never made any maps. So, and I recognized, okay, it can be a cartographer who is not really making maps. Are your students creating maps, or is it necessary to create maps?
Yeah,
you mentioned that, okay, data is, of course, it's also a relevant part of cartography, map making. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a good question, I think. Generally speaking, when it comes to education and our students, all of them need to make maps. They need to. We have a lot of hands-on classes. So they need to produce maps for the internet. They need to produce an interactive map, at least one map for a mobile phone, and at least one map which we will print and put on a wall as an artifact, as a paper map as well. So all students go through this, and it's one of the most rewarding results of the program that the students do this. And they go to competitions, there are map exhibition competitions, and from time to time some of the students win something. And they always feel like I've done something hands-on is a good way to see it. But in a more philosophical approach, I would argue, you, theoretically speaking, you can be a cartographer, you can talk about cartography, you can think about cartography, you can develop methods for cartography without doing maps yourself. I think this is possible. Like, I don't know, in medicine discipline or domain, you never ever do a real treatment on a patient, but you can think about what type of method we might want to use in future. I think this is possible, and I see that as a role for the scientific domain of cartography, which, by the way, Laszlo is really developing currently very heavily, and I think it's logical because we see in our modern societies that there are so many data available, and we are overwhelmed by data and digital technologies. Who is able to make sense out of this? Who is able to get the interesting parts out of it? And I think when it comes to spatial data, that's the role of cartography. That's why it's booming. So I'm always saying to our students in Vienna, and I would like to say that this, to any student in Budapest eventually as well, congratulations if you want to study cartography. You will have a bright future in front of you because you will have a job, you will have a good salary eventually, and you will have an interesting environment where you will work in. And from all our alumni, we know that that is true, what I'm saying.
You had an interesting example during your keynote speech, and you had a sample of what do you do if you're hungry?
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. Yes, this is. I'm trying to use a metaphor to make it understandable what the role of cartography is. And that metaphor is like this. I'm thinking, yeah, what...
What is it? Chef de cuisine?
Yeah, you
told that.
Well, I'm thinking about the main... I'm starting from a human and a human question or need or demand. And the human question or need or demand could be, well, I'm hungry. What do I do? If I'm hungry, what do I do? What are my options? And you know what, Laszlo? What we could do here in Bulgaria is we can go now to the sea and try to catch a fish. And we will not starve from hunger. We will survive for sure. But... the question is
raw fish.
Yes, we have to take an effort. We have to do some. We have to spend some time. We could also go to a farm.
I'm afraid we are not skilled enough to catch a fish.
Yeah, we could go to a farm and try to get the vegetables which they are producing there, or we blood some from a tree. Maybe there are some some fruits there, or we go to a cow and we milk the cow. We could do that. We will not starve. But if we are hungry, we can also, what we could do is we can just go to the supermarket out there. The supermarket, somebody has done that, has bought the fish of the fisherman and packed it, and or the milk was industrialized and packed into something. And we can buy this one. But you know what, Laszlo, what we also could do is we could go to a restaurant and he's using the same fish eventually, the same vegetables, but it tastes better.
But it's more expensive.
It is more expensive, but it tastes better. It was somebody has put creative effort into it, has put some creativity into it, some salt, some pepper, which makes it different than when I would cook. And my argument is
we hope that somebody will be ready to pay extra for the cartographers.
Well, the question is, my argument is if I need an answer to a spatial question, I need to know something about spatial data or information, I could do the same thing. Instead of going to the farm, I might go to a database. And you give me simply this remote sensing imagery, or you give me, you know, the geodesy surveying results, you give me all the coordinates and all the images. And it's like catching the fish myself. I need to put a lot of effort in. I will get the information out eventually at one point. But hey, will I really want to do that? I have 5 minutes to find out. Will I do that? I'd rather go to the supermarket. That would be like going to Google Maps or ArcGIS online. It's packaged, it's industrialized, it gives me a standardized kind of a sandwich. But hey, if I want to go to a real chef de cuisine result, wouldn't I go to a cartographer, which makes a difference, which makes me be really aware of the story, really entitled to understand the spatial question better? And that is something which I think is the role of cartography, to make that difference. And the question is, of course, what is the value of this? What is the added value of this? Why would I go to a theater listening to a star in a play about Hamlet from Shakespeare and not pay a lot of money to listen to you playing Hamlet? The same text, the same data, but the one actor is eventually more talented in this. I pay more money to do this. I pay more money to have this meal in the restaurant because it has an added value. And I think it's important for our domain, cartography. Yes, it is okay, because we are giving an extra value to it. So this is my argument, what I'm using here.
I was just thinking on your sample, what about fast food restaurants?
Yes, yes.
You need something quickly,
yes,
not yes. So expensive.
Exactly.
So
yes,
we have that solution.
Yes, we have that solutions, and they're perfectly fine. And if I have no other way on doing it, I will go to the fast food restaurant. Or sometimes I go there on purpose. I go to Google Maps, of course. And for most of the time, I will do that. But if I'm celebrating my birthday, will I go to the fast food restaurant? So we need to differentiate the functions of all these elements which are out there, all these instruments which we can use. We need to differentiate the functions of that. When will I use what best, so to say? That question.
You also mentioned that the International Cartographic Association is a bottom-up organization. What does it mean? Why do you think it's a better approach than the opposite?
Well, better is a question of comparison. In our case, I think it fits very nicely. It fits very nicely because we have a very familiar, nice atmosphere within the discipline of cartography. And that has something to do with that everyone is welcome. We are very inclusive. Everyone can have a voice. Everyone can express an idea, can share eventually perspectives. And even as a young student, you can participate in big developments. And I'll give you an example. If I'm a student, or I want to become a student, and I'm 17, 18 years old, and I want to find out what I can do. Maybe one of my motivations might be, can I really contribute to save the world, so to say? I'm saying that a little bit pathetic. And you know what? With cartography, you can. And ICA, the International Cartographic Association, welcomes every student right away to contribute. And why would that help to save the world? Because we are having a voice and a seat at every meeting of the United Nations. whenever there's a discussion about topics related to spatial information, ICA, cartography, has a voice and can express that. So there is a kind of a direct connection between every one of us dealing with cartography through ICA, through this interface, to the big topics, the big questions. And this is why I'm thinking the bottom-up structure which we are having in our discipline is very well fitting to our domain.
You also mentioned during your keynote speech the power of maps. Why do you think that maps are powerful tools?
Yes. Ultimately, I think maps are powerful because of our brain. Maps are powerful because of our brain. If our brain wouldn't work like this, we might come up with different ideas, solutions, instruments on how to communicate spatial information. Just as my example from the beginning, we are in a tribe 50,000 years ago and you come back and say you found the deers. If my brain would work different, other species do it differently eventually. They don't do it at all.
You may know Mr. Turok,
yes,
who had, he was educated as a philosopher as well. So he had a early research on how dogs, which kind of maps dogs would create for themselves, or cats.
Interesting, yes. And that would be different eventually.
Totally different, definitely.
But I'm arguing, we humans, if I'm in this room for the first time here, Laszlo, with you, here in Nessebar, Bulgaria, and I want to leave the room, I'm able to do so. Why? The reason for that is that I have sensors, my eyes can see that there is a table, there is a door, there are chairs. And what is my brain doing with this information? It actually does a map. It gives in my brain, there is a map, we call it a mental map, which tells me here is something, I call it an entity, and here is something in relation to it. There's an entity relationship model. This is what we call a map, is in our brain. Now I'm arguing if we're using a map, we are doing something which is similar to what our brain is doing. That's why maps matter and so powerful. Because it's so much easier to tell you this is the way to Budapest from Nessebar on a map than I would tell you in words, for instance. I would take a long description of doing it to describe the election results in Budapest, in Hungary or in Budapest, through words is much more complicated in all these patterns and what has happened than I show you just one map. So the pure nature of maps is very powerful because it is closer to the way we cognitively process spatial information. This is the big advantage of a map.
And you also stated in your keynote speech that map like a glass.
Yes.
Both of us have glasses.
Elderly people might have glasses for sure. And I'm sometimes thinking, if you give me a description of the place you're living in Hungary, Laszlo, and you will describe it with your words, the mental map I might build in my brain might be, oh, he will tell me it's close to the Danube, there is a big street close by, there is this. I would have some kind of fuzzy model, a fuzzy map in my brain. It would be like a blurred image. And the map would give me a clear image. So I'm always comparing that.
If I would give you a Google Street View URL with a photo,
yes,
send it.
Yes, but, well, first of all, my argument with the glasses would be if I give you a map, it's like seeing through, if I can't really see properly, I'm using glasses, I can see it clearly now. So my argument is the map is like using glasses. Now you argue, what if I give you Google Maps Street View? Well, you know what? The problem with this, what if I want to zoom out? What if I want to zoom out? And I think the power of maps has something to do with that it is abstracting information. The power of maps lies in the power of abstraction. It leaves things out. It generalizes some of the elements. It says, this one is important. I highlight it. I make it more prominent. While other elements are left behind, so to say. So we abstract, actually, information. We only show some things. That's why I'm always saying a map lies. It has to. On purpose it lies, to make it easier for me to understand. So, good luck with the street view. It will give you a nice view on how it looks like in reality. But if you want to get a bigger picture, if you want to see other relations, if you want to see what is that building, what are the functions of those, what name has that street, all these things, then we need other forms of abstraction which a map can deliver eventually.
You also told that maps are never ever neutral.
Yes.
And you also mentioned just recently map lies.
Yes.
I'm not totally agree with you with maps are never ever neutral. I think topographic maps or orienteering maps are try to be as neutral as they can.
Yes.
Especially in orienteering, where we have to give equal chance to all the competitors, no matter which part of the world they are coming from. So why do you think that maps are never ever neutral?
Yeah, I think that's a good it's a good point and a good argument to say that topographic maps or like orienteering maps or very standardized maps like navigational charts for ships, for vessels, they're very standardized. They try to be as neutral as possible, as objective as possible. But we have a...
If you are talking about thematic maps, thematic cartography, yes, of course.
Of course.
They are never, yes, ever...
But we have this kind of stream, a part of our domain in cartography, which is called critical cartography. And the critical cartographers would argue, whatever you do, you're always in a particular context. So we, Laszlo, you and myself, we know each other. That's a context we're having. We are here in the year 24... That's a context. We are here in Bulgaria currently. This is our context. So all that context influences always what information I use from my database and how I depict it. So actually every sentence I'm saying is the same thing. I'm using what I know in my brain and I'm doing an abstract word now to say it. I could say it differently. I could try to be as neutral as possible. But it might always have to be seen in the context of the speaker and the receiver of that information. So in that sense, you can argue that every map is a statement, a kind of political statement in political means in that sense. It is a result of the context of space, time, social, cultural backgrounds. If you be somebody from China or somebody from Brazil, you might express yourself differently. Also, it's the same database, so to say. So in that aspect has been brought into cartography from what we call the critical cartographers. And this is a helpful paradigm to understand how maps work and in how we can understand and explain how maps work properly, so to say.
So how can we trust in maps? How That's can we identify fake
yes.
maps?
That's a good question, and I'm arguing that's eventually the biggest challenge we face in cartography currently. Not only in cartography, but also, and this is our domain, so that's why we feel responsible. I'm arguing the big challenges in cartography are threefold. One is how to produce a map, how to make a map. I argue we know a lot about that, to be honest. I really think we know a lot. The second big challenge is how to use a map? What is the impact of it? How do we explain what it does, so to say, with us? We know a lot. We see critical cartography. We see cognitive cartography ongoing and so on and so on. But I'm ultimately thinking we are now on the edge of a new paradigm. I'm thinking in our whole society as humans, we've gone through industrialization before we have been farmers and hunters, and then we've industrialized ourselves. And now we are a service-oriented society in the last years and decades, but now we're getting into the digital era, the digital period. We're having machines making decisions.
But it started 3 decades ago.
It has started years ago, of course.
It's changing continuously.
It is changing, and it's changing quickly.
Is it changing the direction?
And now I would argue with artificial intelligence, if you giving me as a student a bachelor thesis or seminar work, and I don't know if that is written by ChatGPT or by yourself, how can I trust this? That's the big question. And cartography is the same.
We have softwares to identify.
Yeah. I'm producing a map, and you give me a map of Eastern Europe and all the conflicts there. Can I trust it? That's the big question. So my argument is that will be a topic for us. People will come across and say, in the past, everyone trusted a map because it was complicated to produce it. But I predict it will not be like this in future because everyone can now make a map. It will be even, it will, we will get into the question of, is that fake or not? And so I'm thinking we as cartographers, we as a cartography discipline, we as students, we as teachers, we as the International Cartographic Association, we should work on having answers.
That's our responsibility.
And we need to develop that. And I've starting to propose through ICA ideas on how to do it. I'm trying to work on what I call a center of excellence. That would be a good way, a global kind of body which where we can refer to eventually in this respect. That would be something which I think might be useful and develop methods on how to address that topic of trust. And my ideas on that is, you know what, Laszlo, if you say something to me and I don't know if I can trust what you say, what do I do? I will ask you. I will challenge you. So I call that going deep. I want to find out what is it what drives you to say that. I call that transparency. If I'm still skeptical, what do I do then? I ask your colleague. I go wide. I contextualize your answer by finding other opinions. And then the other ones are even more suspicious. I then come back to you and think, yeah, oh, Laszlo was right. I can trust this guy. So those are ideas which we come up with at, currently at the moment. And I can urge every young person only to really join the challenges and opportunities of modern cartography because they are so exciting and there's so much to do. And they can really make a difference to not only producing maps, but also how they are used in our society.
So do you teach your students that they can trust in maps or...
No. I teach my students that whatever you do, you lie. I say it on purpose, always very, very aggressive, so to say, even, so that they're really getting the idea of that they have a responsibility. It's your responsibility as a cartographer to try your best to make the main messages getting across reliable. To be reliable, you need to be transparent in whatever you do.
But if you want to deliver a fake message.
Yes, you can, eventually. You could. It's easy. It has become really easy to do that, of course. But my metaphor to this would be, you know what, when the first locomotives and the railways have been built, medicine doctor said, well, you know what, if you go by train with 20 kilometers per hour, your brain will be deformed. And when the first cars have been invented, people say, you know what, people will die. And what you know what, Laszlo, what I could do with a car is I can drive into a tree. It's my decision. So the same is true with cartography. We cannot prevent that somebody is driving a map into a tree, so to say, as a metaphor. But we can try to come up with ideas, codes of contacts, instruments, so that if somebody is using a reliable way that that becomes visible and we can build trust on that.
You mentioned the term previously elderly. So we are elderly, we can say, or we're close to be elderly, which means that sooner or later we have to leave leading positions. What do you think about the future of ICA? Well, oh, you are in the key position, but sooner or later you have to leave. Can you trust in the young generation? Can you identify your successor?
Sure. First of all, I'm not sure what you mean by we get elderly. Well, yes.
I'm older than Georg.
Yeah. Yes, I very much trust into the future of our colleagues, of our young
people. As well as your institute in Vienna.
Yes, I can see that we're losing... institutions. We are losing institutions which are using the term cartography. And I know that the, both of us, we are pushing hard on trying to overcome that. And my prediction is that that will change. It is changing already again. So cartography, the term cartography,
back
is really becoming really very attractive to young people. But if I'm looking at our students, we have 250 alumni in the last 10 years in our international master program. They are all having good jobs. Not one of them is unemployed. They're all having really interesting jobs. And if I'm talking to them, I have the feeling we are in good hands when it comes to our future. Not only for our domain cartography, but also in a bigger, so to say, picture as well. And the same is true in ICA. I already have a number of young colleagues in mind, which I think will be perfect successors for those people like us, which have delivered some of our time and effort into that organization because we believe into the importance and relevance of cartography and the idea of a bottom-up organization like ICA. And I think it will be continuing most successfully, if not even improve much better than we might have done it in our terms.
I have a maybe sensitive question.
Sure.
Even during this conference, we could recognize that several presentations concentrating on part of the history of cartography, Central Europe, or common origin of the Habsburg Empire, Austria-Hungary. So there were several presentations on that. So we have a kind of common historical cartographic origin. And I regularly have a feeling or had a feeling that in the United States, cartographers had a little bit different thinking. What do you think about that?
Yes, I agree. And we had done a very interesting master thesis some years ago about this topic. We call that schools of cartographic.
Yeah, I remember that. And but that, they were, okay.
So it was looking back into the kind of development of how do we understand and teach and educate cartography. And there was clearly a distinction between the German-speaking countries, let's put it this way, French-speaking countries,
the Russian,
the Anglo-Americans, yes. And the Russian. So four schools of thinking about cartography. And there have been significant differences in the way they theoretically understand. And yeah, it's probably, I don't know, I mean, well, I think we,
you have to be neutral.
I have to be neutral, but it seems like in theoretical terms, we have been very much advanced in Europe in our understanding and explanation and thinking about how maps work and what cartography is all about. And that has changed eventually a little bit because we have stopped doing it. At one point, computers came across. Digitalization came across, the digital revolution came across, and people like you and me...
All from America.
Yes, and people like you and me, we had to permanently try to keep up with the new software. We need to program web pages, all of a sudden need to learn this and that. And we didn't have time to think about the theories and methods anymore that much. So for a while, we have been overwhelmed by technology, by development of technology. We put efforts and time into this, trying to keep up. And now I think what we can see as a result is that we have now several paradigm explanations of cartography. And one of that is, I call it the GIS paradigm. To me, GIS is a paradigm of cartography. To me, GIS is not a discipline. GIS is, an instrument of cartography. And it is nothing else than an instrument of quantification. I'm trying to quantify what I'm doing as cartographer. This is what it does. It leaves out all the aesthetic design elements, it leaves out the communication element, it leaves out the visualization part quite heavily in a sense. So the quantification paradigm or GIS paradigm has come to an end, to my perspective. I can see GIS is coming to an end. It's an instrument of technology, but as a scientific explanation, as a paradigm, I don't know what we can gain from there, to be honest. That's my perspective on it. While we can gain a lot from the other paradigms, the critical cartography paradigm, the communication paradigm, which was dropped some decades ago, but we revisit it now again because it really nicely explains what we are doing, and we need to simply develop it further with all the context we know now better. So from my perspective, yeah, I think we are getting back to getting a lot of ground, so to say, in seeing a lot of research ongoing and trying to explain what we do, trying to develop new methods, new thinking, new insights in this respect. And I would argue that the schools of cartography of the past are now more globally distributed. They are not like concentrated as they have been in the past. Maybe also because of a language issue. In the past, it was a language issue. You publish in your language, you cite yourself in your language, you understand in your language. And now, in the meantime, English is the language, the major language.
Yes, it's true, but are these new visualizations provided by GIS software, which are really totally unusual for us, if you are looking at the traditional cartography, the opportunities of the traditional cartography, I have a feeling that most of these visualization methods I'm not sure about map users are really able to understand it.
Yeah.
They look fun for the first look, but are they really useful?
Yes. Okay, I see your point, and I think that's it's a very good point you're making.
We may say that traditional thematic methods are boring and out-fashioned, but
they work.
But they work.
Yes. I think it's a very good monitoring of what's ongoing based on the digitalization on computer cartography. And I think we have narrowed down our methods to some, like choropleth maps, and it's easy to produce by computers. So we see a narrowed down methodology. But on the other hand, if you want to make really a difference, you produce some kind of fancy maps and visualizations. And what is important now, I think, is, and that's a key element of modern cartography, that we are now doing user-centered design. So what we do in cartography is now, we're not just putting it there, we can now test it. We really need to test it. We need to start also always from a user perspective when it comes to, is it useful? Is the experience you gain from that map appropriate? Is it efficient? Is it effective? All those questions need to be answered always. So as a cartographer, I'm always arguing my responsibility is not only to produce a map, but to make sure that you understand it. I need to make sure that you understand it. So if I'm speaking in German now, Laszlo, I do everything right. Same data, I speak loud enough, but I haven't taken my responsibility that you are able to understand me. And so for maps, it's the same thing. And how can we do that? I need to start from you. I know you don't speak German, so that's why I'm speaking English. I know this or that. So for a cartographer, it's the same thing. The same thinking is needed.
But do you think when the theory of cartography, that cartography became a science 100 years ago, when these German, Austrian, Swiss scientists describe his cartography as a science, I think they have taken into consideration that we are producing maps for the users.
Sure.
We have to concentrate on their needs.
Yes, sure. That's was defined in Eckart 1913 already and all these developments. But I think the argument was that we didn't have really full-fledged methods to test it, to really test it. It was then said, well, we need to understand that we're making a maps for children, for tourists, for experts. So, yes, but to really test it, this is new, I think. This is different, that we can really do it, and we have to do that always, that we find out about, does it work, and which way does it work? What happens to this? I'm always comparing that with a company like BMW. When they're coming up with a new car, what they do right away is they test permanently the steering wheel, the cockpit, how should that look like? Permanently user tested. McDonald's, if they come up with the hamburger, permanently testing. Do you like it? More mustard, less mustard? Do you like it? Permanently user testing. And I think cartography has adopted that user-centered approach as well.
What do you think about the future of cartography?
Yes, I think it is a bright future in front of us. Cartography matters. Everything happens somewhere. Everything which is on a global, on a national, on a regional, on a private scale happens somewhere. And if I need to know about that there is something happening, it can be that I want to find a way, that I want to find out about, how has it come that the election has taken place like this in that part of my country or in this one. If I want to understand air pollution, the climate crisis, whatsoever, I will need maps. So who is doing this? Yeah, it's cartography.
But the tools are there, so they may not need cartographers at all because the software are there.
Yes. Yeah, I come back to my metaphor from the beginning. Yes, the supermarkets are there. Food is there. I can cook it myself, and I will eventually. But there are, you know what, in every city of the world, so many restaurants. There are unbelievably many restaurants. So I think there will be a lot of map restaurants because we will need that as well. Very much so.
So if you have to retire, you will start cooking at home?
I will open a map restaurant, exactly. And you know what, Laszlo, maybe to finish this, I have to say that I'm really very, very proud of being an honorary doctor and professor of the Eötvös Loránd University in Budapest, because I really know that in Budapest, this has a long tradition, and we are thinking along the same lines. And this is something you mentioned as well, that we have that same kind of thinking, the same kind of school, and the same kind of passion about where we are leading to. So in that sense, I would like to finish with my one Hungarian word I know. Köszönöm.
Thank you very much.